Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring the case or the Mondays, then there's would you rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today, it's Dusty and Kale.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
Yo, love you, dog.
Love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you, the 26th of May, 2020. Dusty here at Cam Cleland. We're back. How was camping, my man?
It was good.
Yeah?
I don't want to talk about it because I'm going to get in trouble.
Why?
I don't know. People just want to get mad for a reason.
Because you went camping?
You'd be surprised. You see the people yell that?
No.
I
didn't. What happened?
As far as everybody knows, I was in my house, locked down in quarantine.
Hey.
That's enough.
Going out into the wilderness, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Really?
I don't know.
I thought that it was recommended to be in outside spaces. Isn't camping isolating?
Don't know.
No.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, so you just
As everybody knows, I was quarantined.
Nothing
happened.
Yep,
nothing happened. Didn't do anything.
Nothing
just
to
stayed
see
at home.
Here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
But everything went well then, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Outside of you getting yelled at.
Successful.
Cool. Good.
Successful. It was a great weekend in a sense of, I think this weekend represented the breaking point. Like the sense of urgency weekend felt.
Whoa.
For sports. And we were talking about for sports and teams
and
all that.
Right.
It felt like this weekend was the weekend of, all right, enough procrastinating. Yeah. We got to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. From the Dak Prescott story to MLB to NHL to to NBA. All of it. This is one of those weekends where the dividing lines were set. Let's go.
You know, that is something that I didn't really follow along with the Dak Prescott story. I saw that Troy Aikman came out and said, look, they're going to get something done. But last I kind of checked out. I don't follow my Dallas Cowboy news very, very closely. What happened with Dak? Because I know that the offers were on the table, and it was reported last week that, look, anywhere between $175 and $185 million a year were being negotiated, or not per year, over a five-year contract. Were being negotiated for Dak Prescott. And then I saw this morning, Aikman's like, hey, this is all overblown. Everything's fine. What happened with him?
Of course Aikman's going to say that because he's in the pocket of... I mean, he's the biggest honk there is when it comes to media of the Cowboys. I mean, so there's not going to say anything negative, hey, so I don't expect that. But Dak Prescott wants almost $36 million per year.
Yeah. Would you give that to him?
No.
Thank you.
No. No way. No.
But we know Jerry Jones will do it.
Do
and,
we?
And that's why
he hasn't done it yet,
that's
so I don't
why
know
it's
that.
Overblown, though, in like in Aikman's mind. Like, I do believe that there is an element of it is overblown because of the fact that we know Jerry falls in love with his guys, right? And he'll pay him.
Yeah.
He'll pay his guys.
If you can't afford it, then there's a whole different deal.
Yeah. But they can, and that's like the last piece that they can afford, though. And that's where you look at the future and you go, all right, if you pay him that kind of money, you ain't going to be able to pay anybody else.
The crazier part about this is if you do pay him, even if Dak Prescott was available right now, you release Dak Prescott, how many teams would sign him for $36 million? Just ask yourself. That's as easy as it says, is he worth it or not? If you just said right now immediately, Dak Prescott is a free agent quarterback. Remember, Cam Newton's still a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a Super Bowl quarterback who's been a league MVP. Still a free agent right now. So let's play the fun game of if Dak Prescott was a free agent, who would sign him to now? Sign him as a different deal. $35 to $36 million per year. Nobody. Nobody would sign him to that deal. Not one team would dare sign him to that kind of deal. Now, a team might sign him somewhere, whatever that number is, but it's certainly not overpaying that. And if all these other teams are set, who are you negotiating against? That's the other part is you're trying to have leverage. What is Andy Dalton just as good?
That's what I'm saying.
Could Andy Dalton be just as good?
Regular under the same parameters? Is better.
We haven't seen Dak Prescott play under Mike McCarthy's system,
no.
So you've seen him play under Jason Garrett's system. There's no way in hell I'd pay him $35 million.
No way.
Now, would I ask for it? You damn right I'd ask for it.
Very, 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 very sporty.
I'd ask for it.
Yeah, you said Cam Newton's name. His former fullback, Mike Tolbert. Remember Mike Tolbert?
Big boy. I do remember Mike Tolbert.
Big boy. He said that the Panthers misdiagnosed his injuries and they were far worse than the trainers and doctors let on.
Shocking.
Yeah. And he was like, hey, if anybody screwed up Cam Newton, it's not Cam Newton, it's the Panthers.
Oh, I like this. Ooh. Let's spin it on the doctors. That's my favorite thing to do. When all else fails, spin it on the doctors.
Because in the end,
who trusts any doctors right now?
You say this. I trust Fauci.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I don't distrust him. I'm tired of hearing him.
Because he's not.
It's like spins it something different every 48 hours. But, you know, we're all learning.
Well, it's a fluid situation.
Yes, fluid.
But you say this all the time. You say, look, it's up to the player ultimately if they're going to go out there. Because the doctors are going to tell you they're team employees.
So doctors are the only ones that are team employees. And they're not officially team employees. They're contracted by.
Yeah.
So they actually have their own practice. So majority of them can then say, hey, I am the Blazers orthopedist or whatever you want to say. So then they can market themselves. Wow, really? You see all the pro athletes? It's a pretty good deal. But you're right. It is up to the players. But let me just make this as clear as day. Is that any other scenario, a doctor would say 10 to 12, 15, 18 weeks, you're never playing again. In the NFL, 2 weeks, take some Tums and an occasional ibuprofen, you're back out on the field.
Tums does help the foot issues.
Yeah.
Does.
That's how it works. So you may say, do you like your job? Do you like your salary? Do you like your team spot? Oh, well, then you better play. It's implied. You don't have to.
Get out there.
But strangely enough, you go do it.
It was a good weekend for sports, though. As you said, we got a little bit of that spark that we needed over this weekend. And guess what? We'll talk about those sparks.
Okay.
Let's talk about them. We had the Match 2.0, a new format for golf. Could we see it, golf thriving under this format?
A lot of thoughts on this.
55305, that is the fan text line. It'll be part of our P1 social. Is the Match 2? Tiger, Phil, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I want to hear your thoughts on those because it was the most watched golf event in cable television history. Over, 6.3 million people at its peak, and it averaged around 5.8 million, I think it is, right?
Yeah, we just need to be really specific about it. Everyone doesn't understand the difference between cable and over-the-air digital channel.
It's not the Masters on CBS, folks.
No, yeah, 5.8 million peaked at 6.3.
But that is that's a really big number for cable television on a station, no less, that doesn't traditionally carry golf.
No.
Okay, that's an important, like, it was on TNT and, mm-hmm. and TBS.
For comparison's sake, it was bigger than some of the opening rounds of the U.S. Open and the Masters that air on cable television on the Thursday and Friday rounds. Granted, this was the weekend and there was nothing else going on, but still.
Not surprised, but great number.
Yeah. Also, we got some optimism for the Pac-12 coming out this weekend. Larry Scott, he actually made a statement that wasn't a dance around and a waffling on players and what they should do.
Well, he listens to this show.
Oh, he does. He
listens to specifically what I say.
Gosh, he must be pretty upset then at some of the things
he
hears.
It's all out of spite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hate listening. I like it. But we'll let you know what Larry Scott had to say and what it means for the Pac-12 schools and the governor, as you heard in Buck's update there, the governor of Oregon saying, Ducks, Beavs, I got your back. You guys aren't going to be left behind. So
what does that mean?
We'll let you know at 7:15. How about that? How about that? Seahawks make a couple signings over the weekend, and the NFL says we want take backs. Plus, a 17-hour workout happened over the weekend.
That's a lot of calories.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know what? People do that stuff all the time.
Yeah, they're called psychos. 17-hour workout, 10,000 calories. We'll let you know what Taylor Rapp went through this past weekend. 55305 is the fan text line. I've got something for you right here.
Today's Tuesday, right?
It's already Tuesday.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
It's Tuesday. It's not Monday. It is Tuesday. But I got something for you, Rahur.
To feel this out. Okay.
Ready? We got it today in sports history.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
I got a double dip of today in sports history. The first one is 1993, this day in sports history. Jose Canseco wore one off his head for a home run. This is the day that it bounced off his head. Boop. Over the wall.
I remember that.
I do too. Yeah. So weird. Just like one of those oddities in sports, we went, oh my God. And it was like the downward spiral of Jose Canseco's career.
What? 93? Come on, he ended up finishing up with who? He played for the Yankees. Didn't he finish with the Yankees?
Oh, I don't know who he finished with.
I don't know
who
he finished with. That was with the Rangers, though.
Yeah, the Rangers, he was still peak Canseco.
I feel like the home run off the head was just kind of what everyone knows him for, the blunder, but one that really derailed him was deciding he was going to pitch and then needing elbow surgery.
Yeah, he did. I had a teammate of mine did that in college. He had a cannon, was a first baseman. The guys go, hey, let's throw a bullpen. Tore his UCL.
Ooh. Jose Canseco's final year, 36 years old with the White Sox.
White Sox. What year was that?
2001.
Yeah. Okay, so he did play for the Yankees. I know that.
Yeah, he did. He played 37 games for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Wow. In 1993, Jose Canseco hit .255, hit 10 home runs, 46 RBI.
So he's Bryce Harper.
10 home runs?
Looks like Bryce Harper, what, hit 28?
Then he got on the juice, it appears, back again in 1998 when he hit 46 home runs.
Yes, sir.
Five years later.
Not back in the juice. Everybody was hitting home runs in 1998.
Uh-huh.
Come on. We do know that. Documentary coming soon. Stay tuned.
But the other today in sports history is 1959. We talked about Andres Galarraga saying, I want my perfect game, you know, how they should go back and change it.
Armando Galarraga, not the big
Armando.
Cat.
Oh, yeah. No, it was not Big Cat. 1959, Harvey Haddix of the Pittsburgh Pirates pitched one of the most remarkable games in Major League history. He threw 12 perfect innings, retiring the first 36 Milwaukee Braves in order before losing his perfect game in the 13th inning when a base runner reached base on an error. After a sacrifice bunt and an intentional walk, Haddix surrendered an apparent three-run homer to Joe Adick, but Henry Aaron left the field before he crossed home plate, so it was called a double. The guy threw 12 innings of perfect baseball and lost 1-0.
That's too bad. Rubber arms.
That's so brutal.
He lost 1-0 after 12 perfect innings.
Hey, teammates, do better. Hit the damn ball. What is teammates doing? He did his job for 12 innings.
Yep.
Ain't his fault.
Yep.
Idiots.
All right. You said it's a weekend of optimism in our sports world. Well, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and NHL all gave us a little taste. Hear what the NBA is proposing from Adrian Wojnarowski next. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Jenny, 619, Dusty Hare, Cam Cleland, with ya. So Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, he's on top of all the NBA stuff that's going on. He went on with SportsCenter yesterday, and he dropped a little nugget on what three options the NBA is currently weighing. As we saw, Michelle Roberts, the head of the NBA PA, came out and she said, "We are ready." The players, she had individual calls with each team across the NBA last week with the NBA PA. And they kind of got the feeling and sense of how the players were feeling. She said, overwhelmingly, there is a sentiment that NBA players want to return. They're ready to go, and they're waiting on the NBA. What will that look like? Woj, with three options, and I want you to think about these three options that Woj lays out there, on which one is the most intriguing to you?
Yeah, there's essentially three models they're looking at. One is to play as many regular season games as they can and then go to the playoffs, and that would be likely with all 30 teams. And then a pared-down version that might include a play-in tournament for teams who are still outside of the playoff picture in the standings, or possibly pool play into the postseason. There isn't a great appetite, especially among the contenders, of going right to the playoffs. They want to be able to get some games in. And financially for the players, there's a benefit. The more games they play, the more salary they're going to get that the league is not going to be able to take back from them with a force majeure.
All right, three options are all 30 teams come back. They play out some final games of the regular season. Option two, a play-in tournament into the playoffs. Or option three, you just start full steam ahead into the playoffs. Which one do you like the most?
I just like going right after playoffs.
You like just going straight in? We'll see kind of what happens there in playoff?
Yeah. I mean, you can still go seven games. Just go seven games with everything. It just is. I mean, we already know there's no magic potion to what's going to make this successful. And we also don't want to play the fun fair game. Like, oh, let's give those teams a shot who are any good. And if you were that good, you would have been that good in the regular season. You would have battled it. And I know there's a couple months left, but that's just not where we're at. You have to be successful towards the end of the season. And then teams weren't. And you 1-8, 1-16. If you want to shorten this down as much as possible, don't prolong the inevitable if the same teams are going to get in it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I am intrigued by the option two, and he kind of threw in at the end of it, that play-in tournament, right? You have a play-in tournament into the playoffs, but he said you have pool play. So one thing that's a big hiccup is if you have a play-in tournament, that means that the teams that are solidified into the playoffs are just sitting at home, right? And they're not really playing.
Yeah.
What if you took the final two playoff spots for the East and the West, and you said that he threw in pool play, right? Where you have a pool play, little round robin action where, say, you bring 20 teams back. So you have your eight playoff teams and then two more teams from the East, two more teams from the West. And you have a pool play where 1-6 on both the East and West, they're all safe. But 7 and 8 seeds are up for grabs for those final four teams. You play the pool play, and you have a play-in tournament after pool play. So everybody gets some games in, and then boom, playoffs. You have a little bit of that rust blown off by everybody.
I don't dislike that, but I think I wouldn't go 7. I would just go 8. I would go for 1.
I think
because the Mavericks have 40 wins. Yeah. I mean, the next closest team is Memphis at 32 and a 29. What's the value of having a great regular season if you're going to have a pool play when I'm 10 wins? The East is a little bit easier to figure out because you have Brooklyn and Orlando both have 30. Then the next closest is Philly at 6 with 39 wins. But then Washington Wizards had 24.
Right.
They don't belong in. Neither does Charlotte, Chicago, or New York Knicks. They're all garbage. So the best teams are already in there. I don't think I would. I wouldn't even want to knock. I'd be irate if I was Dallas. I'm like, come on, man. We got 40 wins. We're one win away, two wins from being the third seed.
Okay, well, what if you went on this in this round then? Brian Windhorst said there is some momentum gaining for a you seed the playoffs 1 through 16.
No, I don't like this at all.
1 through 16 because the big hiccups have been travel.
Yeah.
Have been a big concern if you go 1 through 16 and no East, no West. It's 1 through 16. If you're playing in Disney World where it does look like they'll be playing, you don't have travel concerns. And then as of right now, you've got 30-win Brooklyn, 30-win Orlando. It would be the top 16 teams are East and West. If you have a play-in, though, with that, you take Washington and Charlotte and you say, guys, sorry, you're way too far behind. You're out. And you could bring Portland, New Orleans, and Sacramento to Orlando to have a shot to play into the playoffs with Brooklyn and Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a shot to get in, it's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way? I don't really know. I don't like the idea of reseeding. I think it's East versus West. Until you're going to commit to that to be a real change to the NBA, why deviate off the path and create some magical, mythical thing for the year for just out of the sake of travel? You're all in the same spot anyway. Let the East play in one stadium. Let the West play in another stadium. Simplify it down and then play regular basketball. Why change history already? It's already changed enough.
Yeah, I think what the idea behind that is if you're going to put an asterisk by this season.
No, you're not. Right?
Well, I know, but
you shouldn't.
Some will. And we know that some will. If people will look at this season and say this wasn't a true NBA season, they're saying, what can we do to make it more intriguing? And I think that's the line of thinking behind it. I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't see the problem with the East versus West because it is seemingly more level than it has been in years past.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't see, there isn't that, there aren't like 23 win teams making the playoffs this year. I don't think that ever happens, but you know, there is a little bit more of balance at the tops and bottoms.
You can't argue that the best teams are already there. I mean, from 1 through 8 in the West and 1 through 8 in the East, the best teams are there. I know we're here in Portland and you want to say that you're better than Memphis. Well, you're not because you haven't beat them head up. And Dallas is definitely better, and New Orleans has beat you anyway, too. So really, it comes down, and looking in the East side, it's clearly the best teams are already 1 through 8. So I don't know if you want to give everyone else a shot, congratulations, just to try to tell them that. But it's devaluing, it's watering down what the product is already ready to go.
Hey, get a little homer in you, because this is what Woj says would benefit the most.
Remember, the teams who will have those 7 and 8 seeds, like Memphis, for example, they would have had their toughest stretch of games coming in the final weeks of the season. You know, a team like Portland, who was behind them, New Orleans, had easier stretches. But this is how it shakes out. That's going to be another, especially in the Western Conference, that's another thing that they're looking very closely at. New Orleans, for example, they really want to be in a play-in tournament. They want a chance to get into the postseason. But if you're the NBA, do you want to create a situation where Luka Doncic in Dallas could get knocked out? There's a lot to consider here.
Nope.
Well, what
if you don't want Doncic out, but what if Portland got Nurk back for that little playoff run?
I think we're missing the entire point of really what Woj was dancing around, the fact that they want Zion in the playoffs to play Los Angeles in the first round. Let's just be, nobody cares if they're playing Memphis. Now, Ja Morant would be exciting, but that's to dangle the carrot of Portland to be out there. That's not what they want. It's not what the NBA wants. They want eyeballs and they want ratings. They want all of that. And Zion against LeBron is going to be the entire first round coverage. And you can, that's the only reason that they are having this discussion. None other teams are viable at this point.
And that is the one thing that if you did 1 through 16, you could have Damian Lillard, Zion and Ja Morant in the playoffs at once. And that would be better than having or Aaron Gordon. He's Orlando's star.
Yeah.
It's better than having him and a 1 through 16. You could have Kyrie in the Brooklyn Nets against the Lakers and LeBron James.
God, I don't want to see that. I really don't.
I do, because LeBron would just torch him.
Probably.
He'd have one of his grudge
If series. We're going to stay traditional East and West, that's going to be the hard decision for Adam Silver and the rest of the league. And remember, the Players Association's got to agree to this also. You can't just up and just flip it and change. And that's why I say players aren't going to go for that.
You know what the great part about this is? End of July. We have a light at the end of the tunnel. We're looking at a couple of weeks. Players are going to start returning to their facilities for workouts. And then end of July is what we're looking at. Disney World in Orlando seems to be the most likely spot because the NHL, it seems, is heading towards either Vegas or up in Western Canada somewhere for their thing. But Orlando, it appears to be the spot for the NBA in the end of July. We have a light at the end of the tunnel, man. We're here. And the Astros were the sacrificial lamb to be thrown out there for the first baseball teams to return them. And the Rays returned to their spring training facilities. Or I guess it was their main stadium for the Rays.
Oh boy.
But baseball is right around the corner as well. So excitement. I'm excited. I was excited yesterday too because we have golf coming back and tournaments are coming back. We had the Match 2.0, a new format for golf to thrive. 55305. That's the fan text line. I want to get your thoughts. Tiger, Phil, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, playing a little golf this weekend. Must see TV. After Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305. I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That is the fan text line. Dusty here, Cam Cleland, band back together again. We had the Match 2.0 this time, and it was in Hobe Sound, Florida, the Medalist Golf Club. And dare I say, golf nailed it. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning teamed up against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. In something that they switched the front nine and the back nine, the formats, which was best ball in the front nine, alternate stroke on the back nine, had some side games and side bets in there. It was riveting television to watch those four guys play the medalist on Sunday.
And it was. And they did it the right way. But let's be realistic here, folks. This is only great because of the personalities that are there. The golf, I mean, Tiger Woods played spectacular. Phil Mickelson was Phil Mickelson. Mm-hmm. The personalities are the reason why this is great. The golf was golf. I mean, it's like we saw previously the weeks couple before, four guys, Ricky Fowler, you know, all these other guys, Wolf, all out carrying their bags, hanging out. Those are pros. That's like, all right, there's these pros, but their personalities are like, yeah. I mean, they're not bad. They were careful. They were worried. It was all right. Dustin Johnson is just, it's like looking at a blank, postage stamp. It's just got nothing to it. The reason why this worked is because of the personalities and because they actually felt, you could see it, is that, yeah, there were 6.5 million people watching this thing, but those guys play golf like you and I play golf every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They play golf like you and I play golf. We go out with our friends. We talk a little crap. We have fun with it. It's still competitive. It gets fun. You get really, really chatty when you make one good shot, and you get really quiet when you suck. And that's what Tom Brady did, back and forth. And then there's Peyton. The jokes were there, the carts. This was all about personality and relatability to the average golfer.
Well, and I think that is 100% true. But we also, I thought it was interesting. And Tom Brady was not playing well in the front nine. He was going.
By the way, Tom Brady can play golf. Tom Brady is not.
But
anybody that says that you can't, that was just a showcase of bad, and he's not. Look, good luck.
No.
Anybody in those scenarios, that's a single digit handicap playing with Tiger and Phil.
Well, people were piling on Tom because he wasn't playing good golf. But how good a golf are the people that were piling on Twitter? You know, like, I mean, it is exactly. It is exactly how normal people play. But then on the back nine, just like to put it in perspective, that Russell Wilson hole, where I don't think he was anticipating 300,000 free meals to give away for how many he was going to give away 100,000 free meals for each golfer that got within 12 feet.
Mm-hmm.
To put it in perspective, that was 183 yards away. And Peyton and Brady both stuck it.
Yep. Threw some darts in there.
Within 12 feet, both of them were.
Well, if I would have told you going into that hole, you would have bet, those four, that Tiger Woods, the greatest golfer in the history of this game, would have been the guy that had the worst shot there. Right. Would you have taken that bet?
Right. I mean, and then, I mean, the moment of the match, though, we all know what the moment of the match was, and it was when everybody was piling on, and you said it. Like, Tom Brady was embarrassed the first few holes.
Of course.
You could tell his body language, everything about him was just like, oh,
We've
God.
We've all been there. I've been there multiple times.
Oh, yes. Multiple times I go out and play. And then you had the moment where Charles says, I'll give you $50,000 for the charity if you put it on the green. And then Brady just puts it in the woods. He said, I should have said $50,000 to keep it on the planet.
Mm.
That was hilarious. And you could tell Brady was frustrated, and then he had his moment. And his moment was beautiful.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? This Chuck.
Chuck.
Come on, man. I'm going to give you some shots, man. I want
all
some
right.
of you.
Gotta get going. Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, man.
Ready to dominate.
Got it'll turn on. Don't worry. It ain't over yet. Ain't over yet.
What do you got left here, Tom? His third.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no. I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go in.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you made it.
Wow.
Chuck. Take a second at Chuck. Wow.
Hey, hey, yeah. hey.
Chuck.
Hey, man.
Chuck.
I got that's
Chuck.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
How great was that?
Take a suck of that, Chuck.
How
that's
great
the line
was
in the entire match. And then, oh, by the way, what was the best part about pulling that ball out of the hole? Wardrobe malfunction.
Hey.
Bad day for Under Armour.
Bad day for Under Armour. Great
it's been
day.
A string of bad days for Under Armour if you look at their stock price. Holy
wow,
moly.
That couldn't have gone well. And then he tried to say, and then you see Brady do the full, I should have worn my Under Armour pants. Dude, those were Under Armour pants.
Yeah,
don't
we
stop
all
lying.
Know
we know there's Under Armour pants, and they ripped.
We all know they were.
Get your ass ripped out.
Under Armour pants. But that was a great moment, and you could tell it was like the weight was off Brady's shoulders. We're looking at, and I think people loved it because Tom Brady, love him or hate him, one of the best athletes in the world, but he looked like us. And there was a relatable element.
Who's the only guy
still
really competing at this point?
Tom Brady.
Well, Tom Brady. I mean, I get Tiger and Phil, they're pros. I mean, Phil's going to be 50, Tiger's 44, going to be 45 this year. Those guys are world greats, not even any question. Peyton Manning's been retired for, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah.
Of course his golf game's going to be a little better. Brady's been focusing on, like you said, I'm playing football. I don't want Tom Brady's golf game to be great right now. If his golf game is great, then there's a problem.
I loved Sean Payton's tweet during that match at the very beginning. Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints, he goes, I'm really liking this Florida version of Tom Brady.
Yeah, in golf. Careful what you wish for. There, Shawnee.
I love
He's going to put up 60 on the Patriots, or I'm sorry, on the Saints the first time they play.
You mentioned...
it's going to get ugly.
You mentioned personalities. The personalities that were playing were fantastic. We heard Brady talking smack with Chuck. You had Peyton before the round talking to S, saying he'd have Eli or Nick Foles or Belichick as his caddy to get in Tom's head. Phil was fantastic, his bombs and math equation that he did before on social media. And watching him just before the whole thing, he was great. And Tiger didn't talk for like a whole hour, but I mean, he's Tiger.
He was competing.
You know, whatever. Yeah. But the broadcast crew was just as entertaining. Having Charles Barkley as a part of it, brilliant by TNT. But then I thought Trevor Immelman and Justin Thomas did a really good job. I think Justin Thomas was awesome.
Well, everybody liked Justin. He's pretty funny. He had some good things to say. Trevor Immelman was very South African, with that beautiful accent that he has.
You need
he was
an accent analytical. to mix
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, it was great. My tweet was that, you know, Phil and Peyton you drink beer with, Tom and Tiger you drink wine with. That was really the personalities of why it worked and you could just tell the difference between the two hyper competitive guys. And now they're all hyper competitive, but the way their personalities work, that's why this was so great. Mm-hmm. Everyone says, well, let's get more of this. Be careful what you wish for. There's only a few goats in the world that are Hall of Famers and unquestionably the greatest ever that you can put in a foursome and say, this will work out great. It does work out great because you allowed these guys to talk, to have fun, to be interactive, to also and make mistakes and be out there and just be playing golf. Yeah. The nerves of watching a professional who plays in front of 50, 60,000 and millions of people like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, the nerves of watching them. And then the other guys are just like, yeah, I'm out playing golf.
55305, that's a fan text line. Love the match. Felt like I was watching around with my buddies with all the side bets and jabs. Granted, most of us are on Tom Brady's level or worse play, but it was good to see sports bet. Loved Phil's coaching. And that is something, too, that, like, I mean, yes, you had Brady and Manning.
Phil's wonderful.
Are great. And you obviously had Phil and Tiger. But I think the personalities that we saw, like, Justin Thomas, you said he's known as a funny guy. I had no idea anything about Justin Thomas. But when he said, when he called Barkley a fat ass,
yeah, that was hysterical.
I was rolling.
Yeah.
Chuck, I'd love to see your fat ass try to jump a basketball right now.
Hey, clear.
Dive.
Speechless.
JT, you can't call me fat on TV. That's bullying. I'm going to call HR on you.
But that was a wonderful side of a golfer that we hadn't seen before.
But that's how we talk to each other out there.
Exactly.
That's the other facet of what this was real. This was what it was like when we all go out and play together. It wasn't careful. It wasn't calculated. It wasn't PC. It didn't make every Karen and every Tom and every Bill and every Steve super happy. Sorry, all those names. Make them super happy. It didn't make the. It wasn't the worry of whether you say the right thing or whether you F-bomb. It wouldn't even need to do that. They acted like we all did. Just four dudes out playing golf, two really good ones, one average day, and one guy fell in the tank for a while. But let's be realistic about the conditions out there. That was as ugly as you could play golf. There's not anybody out there that's a single digit that I will talk to that can hear me in shouting distance that would have done any better than Tom Brady out there. And if you think you would have, put 6 million people watching you and go play with Tom and Phil and see if you can even make it off the tee playing with those guys. You wouldn't. You may be cocky. You would not.
But I think you just said something that I think if you're taking one thing that could translate from that broadcast to golf, it is talk about the round, talk about what's happening on the course like everybody else does. Because if you're talking like golf broadcasts, they seem a little stuffy.
Oh, they're so stuffy. An old man with their... just,
oh my gosh. Yes.
And you know what? If you want to have the Masters that way, I'm totally fine with the Masters 100%. And the tradition and the history, and I'm fine with that. But if you can't catch up and figure it out, golf, and get out of your own way and allow it to be a little more like the way Tom, Dick, and Harry play golf every weekend, then you're missing the boat on bringing more people into the game, because that this weekend would allow more people to take on the game. But none of us get to play medalist where it costs like $1 million to be a member there or whatever.
55305 is the fan text line. More of your feedback coming in on the text line and on social media as well. 55305, that is the fan text line. The match two, Tiger, Phil, Peyton, and Brady. Is it a new format for golf to thrive? Dustin Cam on the fan. 55305, that's the fan text line. We're talking the match two, Tiger, Phil, Tom, and Peyton over the weekend at Medalist Golf Club. And, you know, they did mention that we watched Seminole the weekend before, where you had Rory, DJ, Ricky, and what's his name? Wolf? What's Wolf's first
Matthew?
Name? Matthew Wolf. All play. And Seminole had the kind of the who's who of members. Well, they are nothing compared to the Medalist, which their club champ is basically the top 10 of the PGA Tour every year.
I don't think they, yeah, have a club champion.
Yeah. Well, they're like, showing those pictures of like, you know, all of their members with their trophies on the walls. Like, what the heck? These guys are incredible. But the Medalist was a great course to see all that action in. And golf felt relatable on Sunday. And that's a hard thing to do. Point Pest Jeff chiming in. He says, personally, I'm not really into golf, but if they started matching up pro golfers and celebrities in this format, I'd be more likely to watch. And this was a tough one. You mentioned, like, you had the two greatest golfers and the two greatest quarterbacks, arguably ever to do either, on the same course at the same time. And
their personalities right. were so distinct, and they were unique, and that's what made this so great. Remember, television is about entertainment. You can't just put four randomites out there and say, hey, it'd be great to see Cam Newton and Russell Wilson and all these other guys. It probably would be fun to see that. And that's what, do we want to see those guys struggle? I think it was more about the reality television side of it. I personally don't care whether it's a great shot or not. The fun was listening to Chuck cut on Tom or Peyton talk about, and those two talk about, and then Tom cut on Tennessee saying, you haven't done anything since you left. By the way, Tennessee won a championship after Peyton left, by the way.
The year after he left.
So that didn't go over well. But that is what was fun. That's the riveting side of listening to everybody have great personality. That's the reality television side. The golf was like, nah, it was ancillary.
How about
it was just a format?
When they asked Peyton if he considered matching Tiger, and he said, I wouldn't wear red and black because Kirby Smart would get a picture of it and put it on Georgia's social media.
Perfect. It's wonderful.
They also mentioned, does it remind you at all of the Falcons? Like maybe, hopefully Tiger can close better than them or something like that.
Oh, that's great.
And Tom goes, Falcons don't bother me. It's the Eagles that make me cringe, bro.
Like that is funny. And I think like you could find celebrities where it would work, but this was an easier one to do because you had such great personalities in the top four. You know, I think that one of the things that made it so good too, and you know, we talked about it briefly, was you had a broadcast crew that could engage them and could play along right along with them. Like having Chuck and Thomas, and those two guys were able to go back and forth with those four that were actually playing. And that's an undervalued part of that broadcast and how it all went down.
Truthfully, here's what golf needs more of from the entertainment side. It's not just we need more top goats playing together. Mm-mm. What golf needs is to be more relatable to the common folk that play it. If you want to do these things, if you want to try to fix golf, make golf more relatable. And how do you do that is allow these players and allow these people to act like you, because they're so uncomfortable and so rigid because of the rigid rules of golf and what it's always been and the traditions of it. And I can appreciate that. But if you want to grow the game and get back to the entertainment factor, allow there's to be mics. Allow the communication, allow the side betting, allow the fun of a tournament in a format that pairs randomites with golfers. You want to really agitate professionals? Put a couple 10 handicaps with them during a round.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, let's see how that works out for you and how frustrating it is, and have them constantly ask you for swing tips.
Hey,
or do you be like battling, which is a modified alternate shot, which is one of the funnest ways. Modified alternate shot was fantastic. It was the best part about it. The best ball wasn't even that interesting. It was allow these guys to be who they are at the Medalist Club. What we do every day at Langdon Farms, or you do it out at Pumpkin Ridge or the Vineyards or anywhere you play with your group, act like that. That's interesting.
That is where golf could make the biggest strides, is relate to normal people because you can engage them. Mm-hmm. Hey, Tool Truck Guy's in. On social media, he says, I don't know if it was just me, but watching Tiger versus Phil match, it sure seems like the carts were really fast. And I've driven a lot of golf carts. They could have made that match better, like including alcohol.
Yeah, somebody should have been shotgunning a few beers. And Brady would have been shotgunning a few beers, but Karen would have been very mad.
Yeah, he would have. But that's one of the things. Hey, make it more relatable. But the carts, like we mentioned shorts and carrying their own bags with some in the first one, that was a little weird. It was weird to see Tiger and Phil in golf carts. Like it's something you never think about.
But that's probably how they play.
You're like, oh.
No, it's of course. And they auctioned those carts off, which are easy goes, which I guarantee they had those babies souped up to go fast. It was fun. And then Tiger was taking heat for having long shorts.
Yeah.
He was like above the knee. It's like now all of a sudden we're shaming below the knee shorts. Hey. Those are classic T-Dub shorts. He's a Jordan brand guy. He's like, oh, this is my stuff. I like it a little bit longer. I'm a long short fan. I don't like these high. I don't need to see your the definition of your quad, Peyton. I mean, could you get any smaller?
That's Southern bro short. That's frat bro short.
Well, he's been wearing boat shoes and those high shorts since college at Ole Miss. I get that. I like
Tennessee. Eli went to him. Come on, man.
You're gonna upset
a lot of folks.
I meant Papa and Eli went to Ole Miss.
This text says, hard to believe Tom Brady's a single digit handicap. Never seen someone with a single digit with no driver in the bag and couldn't keep a 3-wood in play.
Those of you have to remember that a 9 handicap is a guy that shoots 81 from the standard tees at like 6,800, 6,500. He's an easy. I played golf with Brady back in 2002 when he was a single digit then, and he smoked all of us at a regular tees. That means somebody shooting 81. Okay, do math. Average par is 72. Do math times a 9 handicap, shooting 81 at your local club. He could easily do that. Now put him at the Medalist
with Tiger
and Phil in a torrential downpour with 2 gloves on. Yeah. You're going to have a bad day.
Did you notice, though, Tom Brady is one of your most disliked golfers, though?
What do you mean?
He's a finger counter. He was continually on the green.
I think he was counting Peyton's.
He was counting his strokes on his hands. He did it almost every green where they showed him. He was on the front nine. He was math guy.
Yeah.
He was math guy. And that was one of your... we did the... your sports pet peeves last summer, and that was one of your sports pet peeve guys, and Tom Brady was it. He did it. He's a finger counter.
Well, but he's not cheating.
He's a finger counter.
Yeah.
Well,
it happens when you hit it out of bounds a couple times.
He's like, oh boy.
I think Tiger goes. Carry I think one. It's a fairway on 7.
Oh my gosh, there were quite a few. There's a cut up that I pulled, the best of the Mike Dubs, and each guy had at least one good one-liner.
What a fun day, but a little nervous and tight on the first hole.
How did that ball stay in play? Yours!
We're not going to give that to him. It's not Tiger.
Pretty good putt, considering the crowd noise I was having to deal with.
I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, man. Shut your mouth, Chuck.
Unreal.
Okay, take a look at that medicine.
I loved it. It was great. And it, from start to finish, we had entertaining golf, and that is what I think we need a little bit more of.
Here's my final thought of this one. Do you like seeing goats or celebrities or ones that are the top of their game struggle in something to humanize it?
Yes.
Did everybody like that? Did it bring you down? Did it look at Tom Brady, his hundreds of millions, his gorgeous wife, and his beautiful, perfect world that he lives in Tampa now? Did it make him more relatable because he kept hitting hosel rockets with his 3-wood?
I think that this text kind of sums it up. Right. The match will help make Brady look more human. How many golfers now think they could beat Tom Brady? There's probably there's a lot of them.
There was a lot on Twitter.
Until you step out on the course with him. 55305, have more thoughts on this. Coming up next hour, the Seahawks make a couple of moves, and the Pac-12 will make a move this weekend. Next is Hot and Cool on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.